They asked me about how much time I need because after 15 years of working with Awana and giving 15-minute devotionals, I have a hard time drawing out 40 to 45 minutes in a meeting. So a lot of times I'll write down a bunch of verses, and if I'm done really early, sometimes I'll let people go early. But since we have people in the back trying to get ready for dinner on the grounds, we have Sunday schools, I'm not sure I wanted to let everybody out early. So all the verses that I looked at for this message, I also have them in the back, and I may just recite some of them. And you shouldn't groan if you hear that. You should be, oh, I'm so excited to hear verses, right? So be excited to hear what the word has for me. So a while back, Lauren Goggin encouraged us all to find a word for the year and to focus on that word. It was a tool. It wasn't something that we should solely focus on, but in our daily Bible readings and the things that we're doing, it does help focus on what's important, on what's on your mind at that time. A lot of times we go through scripture and it's kind of dry, and if we're just reading just to be reading and we go through some portions, it doesn't sink in. It doesn't really get to us. I think it's good to have like a focus word or something that you're looking at. I have an idea of what this passage is about, and focusing on that. And it helps to gain some traction as you're reading some of the blander places in scripture. So, in 2016, my word was unity. And, this one word theme led me to notice in the New Testament the use of the phrase one another. And, back in 2016, I did a message on one another, but it was pulling those from when Paul would be sort of at the end of his letters, he's commending those brothers and sisters. He's doing something. And there were some one another's there at the end of those epistles where he's trying to encourage people to be more one towards another. And this morning I'm going to revisit that, but I'm adding a few things that I didn't notice before, some things that sort of just got on my mind. And one is this thing about first usage. Sometimes when you find something first in the Bible, it's very important what it's talking about. Is this too loud for everybody? Is it okay?
Good.
Oh, it's got Tom's like, I can hear now. first usage is really important. So the first mention of one another as it relates, and this is where I pulled one another from, because there's a ton of them in scripture, of course, but I only wanted to look at those that had to deal with either the disciples, the Lord's disciples, or as it relates to believers in the epistles or in the later books in the Bible. So I wanted to make sure that I made that sort of delineation. I was looking at stuff for us, right? Not just stuff that we learn about history, but stuff that we can actually use right now. And the first mention of one another, as I found it in the New Testament, was in Matthew 24:10. And it is this: and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. What a wonderful way to start this message. And many of you will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Now, it's talking about believers in the last days, but it's still regarding believers. So there's still this idea that we can betray one another. We can hate one another. We can fall away. You might call it backsliding, right? You know, I'm guilty of backsliding. All of us, I think, are guilty to some extent of backsliding. And we know those who have been backslidden. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. But I wanted to look at more than just that one verse. So if we go back to verse 3 and we read through 13, it's this: as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and this is the Lord Jesus, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so we see in this text before us, it's believers that have the capacity to fall away or backslide and also to betray one another and hate one another. I bet you didn't know that, right? You didn't know we could. No, I'm just kidding. Of course we know that. Even though we're believers, we're still in these bodies, our natural bodies that have a gravitation towards sin. But should we sin that the grace of our Lord may abound? No, God forbid. No, we shouldn't. You know, some of us were saved at a young age, myself, and have had the blessing of not having accustomed our bodies to some different kinds of worldliness. But we still have sins to deal with every day. I grew up with books, television, and movies. And I was already a heavy reader when my mother passed away. I was 13. My mother passed away. And I submersed myself into the fantasy genre, especially books. Tolkien, Edgar Rice Burroughs, Piers Anthony, Stephen R. Donaldson, these writers sort of transported me from the pain and grief of losing my mother and being left at home with a father who was non-existent or non-functioning due to alcohol. And it took me to a world that was exciting and bold, daring and fun-filled. All the things I'm not. So I'm glad some of you left. You're listening a little bit. Okay. So, and while I don't believe that the fantasy genre is in itself evil, when I immerse myself into reading or binging on TV shows to the point of neglecting my chapel family, my family at home, those that I need to be talking to, witnessing to, and it is a sin to me, and that's something that I desperately have to work on. I imagine others of you might find yourself somewhat occupied where you fall into these ruts of watching TV and getting called into things, and you want to do that more than you want to dwell in the word of the Lord. And so that's something we need to work on. But I wanted you to know, and part of this is I want you to know that if you see me withdrawing, because that's my natural self, I'm shy. I like to read. I like to, it's all about me. I once told Josh, and he looked at me with the strangest look in his face. I said, I hate people. The Lord has you know, raised me to be an elder, but I hate people. How can these things be? And I know the Lord has a sense of humor, but that's my natural self, not what God would want me to be. And it's kind of shameful to me that I let that out. But then again, that's who I am. And so being real with y'all, I want you to be real with me. If you see me withdrawing into myself, if you see that I'm not contacting you on a somewhat periodic basis, if you see that I have no interest in things, you know, I want you to come up to me and say, hey, I know this isn't what you really, really want. This isn't what the Lord wants. And I want you to sort of catch me up on. I want you to bring that to me. I want you to look me in the eye and say, come on, son. Ah, someone got it. So there may be some people who are familiar with psych. And if you are and you know what come on, son is, and you probably watch TV too much like I do. Anyway, now, I don't want everybody getting into everybody else's business, but I think it's important that we pay attention to each other. Part of loving one another is noticing when a brother or a sister falls away, when a brother and sister recedes, when a brother or sister does something that you know, we see people happy in the Lord, and we see the joy that that has. And when you see people withdrawing from that, we need to notice, we need to pay attention, and we need to talk to them about it. We need to bring that up. If you identify an issue and you bring it to a brother or sister that you see who might be falling away, or you just have some concerns, if they're in a good relationship with the Lord, they'll love that you're doing that. They'll accept it. They'll take it. If they're not, then you know what to pray for. right? If they push back really hard on something that you've identified that they might need to work on. I love my brother Gary because he does that to me a lot. Not that I'm a big sinner, but he's familiar enough with me to say, hey, I think you need to look at this. And I love that. But I don't want it to just be Gary. I want it to be everybody who knows me and has dealt with me. I want it, and I want you to be okay with me and others talking to you and dealing with you in that way also. If you aren't saying anything and you just keep watching and judging, then how are you showing love to them? This reminds you of James 5:19-20. My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. There's that term, one another. My brothers, if anyone among you, so just be looking for that. In John 13, we learn that people will know that Jesus' disciples, if we have love for one another. But you and I as believers, we know when someone doesn't have love for us, right? We know when a brother or sister doesn't seem to exhibit that love toward us. But what we need to is love them, right? Sometimes speaking the truth is hard, but speaking the truth in love makes it that much easier to take. So we need to be loving each other by helping each other grow closer to the Lord, not by identifying things that might be going on with that brother and say, oh, well, I'll pray for them. Yes, please pray, but also go to them and talk to them. We need to be showing love for one another. We need to be showing love through communication, through admonishment, through correction, and also with a kiss. That seems kind of funny, but when you look at the one another's in scripture, in Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Peter 5:14, all of these verses encourage us to greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, we don't necessarily do the holy kiss anymore, you know, each side of the face. But William MacDonald was funny. He said, in Western cultures, we've replaced that with a handshake. Maybe that is a little more whatever. Maybe not in COVID times. I don't know. But we probably shouldn't get each other's faces either. I don't know. Anyway. But it says we should be really thinking about our personal greetings with one another. We should be greeting each other. We should be entering into each other's lives a little bit, if not just for greeting and talking to them and just doing that. One of the problems I have, I'm shy. I started doing the sound room back there because I could do that, not be near people. Natural me. But when I'm back there and I'm not near people, then I don't get to greet people and see what's going on. And so at our last elders meeting, I was talking with Bill, and Will was there, Josh was there, Gary was there. I think we were talking about this. It was like, hey, don't worry about the sound stuff. If we don't get stuff on the internet for people to see or hear later, and I know some of you do listen to that goes on the internet. If that doesn't happen, maybe someone will step up and relieve me back there. Maybe if we pray for that, maybe the Lord will provide someone who can do that so I can spend more time doing what I know the Lord would have me do. So just another thing to pray for me about, or pray for us, the meeting. It's not just me, it's the meeting, right? But how important is it to be warm and inviting when you greet someone? For someone that the Lord is working on their heart and that it's a new place for them to go to, a warm and generous greeting can make all the world. I was listening to a message on Voices for Christ. So here's a plug for voicesforchrist.org. It's a great place to listen to messages. It's got a lot of a New Testament principle-based preachers on there. J.B. Nicholson, Boyd Nicholson. Bill King has got a lot of messages on there. It's a great place to be encouraged with the word. I was listening to one of the sermons that Boyd Nicholson, I guess it's J.B.'s father or grandfather, I'm not sure which, but an older man, and he talks about the war. I think he's talking about World War I, maybe. I'm not sure. It seemed like it. But I was listening to a message, and he was relating a story that when he was in the military, when he first went into the military, he visited a church. Of course, he was away from home, and so he visited a church, and he was a relatively new recruit, and he missed his home meeting, missed his home. He was looking forward to being with like-minded believers and possibly getting invited to someone's home and sharing a home-cooked meal, not what he ate on base. So he was looking forward to this. And so he found what he felt was a like-minded meeting. But before, during, and after the meetings, no one had welcomed him. No one spoke to him or even acknowledged he existed. And he was feeling rather dejected. And as he was departing from the church on his way out, a man caught up with him and asked if he would come to his home and have lunch with him. And finally, he found someone. Finally, this was wonderful. And so as he's having lunch with this man, he finds out that he was a visitor to that chapel also. So it's funny, but it's also, oh, goodness, how important is it for us to be inviting and welcoming to those who visit us? We don't know who the Lord is bringing in here. We don't know what gifts we're missing if by not paying attention to them, they find some other place to go. And maybe the Lord had intended those gifts to be used here, and we just didn't take that opportunity. So it's important for us to pay attention for those who are coming in. We need to be warm and gracious when we welcome visitors. Also, I noticed in my study of the word one another, and there's a bunch of one another's, but there are three main Greek words that are used. The one that's used most of all is alelon, which I know these gentlemen have heard me butcher other languages today, so I know that this is probably not the way the Greeks actually pronounce it, but it's the best I can do. But it means one another, but it also means reciprocally or mutually. So you're part of a group, and it's something that there's an expectation of reciprocity, if I'm saying that right, too. So there's an expectation that I do this for you, we're going to do this back. There's that mutual togetherness in the group. So that word is used 67 times in the New Testament and 60 different verses and 20 different books in the New Testament. The second most often Greek word is heiauto, and it means himself, herself, itself, themselves, but it's individual. It's something that is, it's a group, but it's toward each individual, and there is no reciprocity. There's no, you're not expecting anything back. And often this is used with forgiving one another, right? This is something we do individually. This is something that we do and don't necessarily expect anything back. It's just something we do for one another, admonishing one another, right? This is singular. This is individual. It's used about seven times in seven verses in five different books in the Bible. The third was parakaleo, which is really odd to me because most often it's used as beseech or beg. But then the next most often is comfort, comforting. And then the next most often is exhort. And finally, you get down to, I can only find two instances where it means to encourage one another. So parakaleo is to encourage one another. But it was just really interesting how that word is used in a lot of places. I think we'll get to that when we get to 1 Peter 4. But yeah, there were 109 occurrences of that word parakaleo in the Greek. And again, most of the time it's not about one another. It's about beseech. And the root word of that beseech, parakaleo, is to pull near. It's to draw near. Right, it's to put an arm around something and pull it to you. It's that comfort, that encouragement. It's a personal encouragement. It's not, hey, you're doing great. It's like, hey, come here. You're really doing great. Right? There's a little difference there. It's that drawing in, it's beseeching, begging, pulling in. Interesting. For those of you on Wednesday night, you hear me go through the Bible studies. I love to study the Greek and the Hebrew words. English is such a terrible language. I mean, love could be brotherly love. You know, there's so many different things. But anyway, one thing that I would like to look at is a passage in scripture. If you would, please turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll start with verse 8. 1 John. I said 1 John. That's wrong. It's 1 Peter. I need to fix that in my... Funny, I think of 1 John 4:8 a lot because God is love. That's 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:8 through 10 says, above all, keep loving one another. And that word is haotu, which is the singular, sort of independent, earnestly. Love one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality with one another, alelon, which means the mutual reciprocal love. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as is also hialto, as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so I know I've already said that the verses I was looking for either had to do with the Lord's disciples or believers, but if we go to chapter 1 in 1 Peter, we see in verses 1 and 2, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. If we go to chapter 2 and look at the second verse in chapter 2, it says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So this is obviously to believers. This is going to believers. Those that have been sprinkled or washed in the blood. And that's... you know, this message is to those who are in the Church of God. If you're a visitor this morning, we're so glad you're here. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I hope you'll see the love and care that God has for us and the love and care that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ by giving us directions on how the church should conduct itself in love. We are by no means perfect, but we've been saved by someone who is, and he gives us reminders of how we should act, and that's what we're looking at. So back to these one another's, these three reminders in those three verses tell us that it's important. Our relationship with each other is important. It's not only important, but it's also vital to the health and well-being of the assembly, of us meeting together. So it's important one-to-one, but it's also important for us as a group, for us as a whole, for this local body. So if we begin in verse 8, it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. The King James and the New King James Version call this a fervent charity or a fervent love, right? And that word fervent in the Greek is ektenes, and it means to be earnest and without ceasing. That's why in the English Standard Version, it says, keep loving one another earnestly. So, I mean, I love that version, which is why I switched from New King James to the English Standard Version. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. It's a warm, intense, earnest, unceasing love. And the word for love here is the Greek agape. It's not philia. It's not brotherly love. It's agape. It's a divine love. It's an unselfish love. Let me find my place. And it's a love that can only come from God and only can come from those who know God and are known by God. So that agape love, that selfless love, is what it's talking about here. Now the word for one another here is haiato, which is not the reciprocated love. And that makes sense because when we're told to love one another, right, we're loving one another. It doesn't matter if you love me back. I'm told to love you. we're told to love one another, but I'm loving you regardless if you're reciprocating that. We love one another because it's what we should do, and because the Lord has loved us in that way. But it is per individual. It's a godly, unselfish, warm, intense, unconditional, unceasing love. And how powerful is this love? It's so powerful it can cover a multitude of sins. Understand that this love cannot cancel sin, right? It can't cancel, undo, or atone for sin. That could only be done by God himself. And it was done on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, paid the price and atoned and paid for our sins, all our sins, on the cross. For those of us who have put their trust in Jesus, those sins cannot be held against us. They are paid for, and that work is done, but we still sin, don't we? Even though the sins we commit and continue to commit have already been paid for, those sins have consequences, and those consequences have scars, emotional, sometimes physical scars, that keep us a lot of times from fellowshipping together in the way that we ought to. Helps keep us apart from one another instead of being with one another. But we can get past this by showing a godly, sacrificial, and unconditional love, that agape love to a brother or sister. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so we show love when we're forgiving, when we are letting the differences, or maybe the scars that are between us, melt away, because we're showing unconditional love for each other. So how is your relationship with fellow believers? Are there people, your brothers or sisters in Christ, that you're unwilling to overlook their scars, their faults? Some people may annoy you. Some may trouble you. Some people you just don't get along with. People sometimes are not very accepting, right? Some people are not very forgiving. Some people don't seem very loving. But Christ forgives, Christ loves, Christ accepts. He may not accept what you're doing, but he accepts you because you are his child. If you have taken the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are his child. The end of this verse, love covers a multitude of sin, is actually referring to an Old Testament verse in Proverbs 10, verse 12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. It's interesting when you look at this Old Testament verse where it's placed. The other verses above and below it have to do with the mouth of the wicked and the foolish, as opposed with the mouth of the righteous and discerning. But how have our mouths stirred up strife amongst our family, personal family, chapel family, those that you, neighbors, those that you are with? How much has our mouth done these things? What kind of unkind or thoughtless words have passed from our lips that have messed up relationships? James tells us that the tongue is a fire and full of iniquity, a restless evil and full of deadly poison. How we set great forests of flames by such a small fire? What fires have we set? So when confronted with this thought of our relationship with one another, is there anyone that comes to mind? Is there anyone whom you've wronged? Anyone who's wronged you? Are you praying for them? Have you gone to them in love and asked about what's going on? Let the Spirit of God show you those persons that you need to get things right with. Thankfully, that's part of that verse as well. Proverbs, the one above it, Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Those sweet words that we say can be a fountain of life. If you've been forgiven something, you know. And we all have, right? The Lord Jesus has forgiven us. We know the relief. We know the comfort. We know just the joy we get from that forgiveness. That can happen with brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Work towards getting those relationships right. Now, the next verse is 1 Peter 4:9. It says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, I've already talked about the importance of greeting one another, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but hospitality is very likened to this. Hospitality is generally done with strangers, because the root word of that word hospitality is strangers. But here it implies each other as well, not just for strangers that come in, but for one another, right? We're to show hospitality to one another. The word here is that Greek eleon, and it is eleon, and it is reciprocal. It's an expectation that we will show hospitality to you and you will show hospitality to me. So there's some expectation of return there. I hope you're starting to see the picture and the logic here. Sometimes the care and concern we show each other is expected to be returned. Sometimes I'm doing something for you and I expect to see some measure of that in return come back to me. But when it talks about love for one another, that doesn't, it doesn't matter what you're giving back. What matters is that I'm showing you the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me and forgiving and mending that relationship. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love toward us, or God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not waiting for us to come and get right with him. He's not waiting for us. He's already done the work. Sometimes we need to do the work. 1 Peter 4:10, the last of those three verses, says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. And the Greek word here for one another is the same in verse 8. It's hialto, and it's the individual. It's individual, and it's not expected to be reciprocated or returned. Serve one another. In the Greek, it's something like this. Again, I'm going to butcher this Greek. It's eis hialto autos diakoneo. Or diakoneo, excuse me. It means in serving, serve one another without expecting anything in return. It seems hard, and sometimes I guess it is. But if you are using the gift that God has given you, it's worth the work. You are worth the work. And I think that kind of sums it up best. All the things that we do for one another can be work. But if we esteem others better than ourselves, if I put you above me, if I esteem others better than ourselves, it works. And we know that the Lord Jesus esteemed us, right? He esteemed each of you to the point he thought you were worth dying for. We know ourselves. We know how terrible we can be to think that the Lord Jesus died for even me. Is an amazing thought, a wonderful thought, and hopefully something that will lead you to get things right with whatever brother or sister you have things with. That's pretty much the end of my message. I do have 3 pages of verses. I could just, actually 4 pages of verses. Again, most of them are dealing with one another and how we are encouraging each other. And not all of them are, you know, fall away, betray one another and hate one another. But the thought that we are loving one another and encouraging one another and giving to each other preference is something that we really, really need to work with. Again, thank you all for listening this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love for us, your care and concern for our lives, and how you would want us to react to one another, to live together, to work together, to worship together. Father, as we center our lives, our thoughts on you and your son, the Lord Jesus, how much easier it makes it when we see the work that has been done on our behalf, the love that has been shown through selfless, unconditional love into the Lord giving himself and going to the cross. So Father, we do pray that you'll help us to draw closer to one another, that our unity would grow sweeter and better as we are considering you and we are working towards getting those relationships right with each other. So the body, the local body here works much better to do the things you have called us to do. So again, Father, thank you for this time in your word, and pray your blessing upon it. Pray that it will have its perfect work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.